Our text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke once more, chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Friends, hear the word of God. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Are you ready for things to return to normal? I sure am. These days, students and teachers would much prefer to be in their classrooms rather than doing distance learning and trying to navigate the brave new world of online learning. And parents, of course, are struggling to help out their children. I saw one friend on Facebook this week. She posted a little something and said, "When does the school district inform us of our child's teacher for next year? I hope it's not me." And we want to get back to work, don't we, as well? I'll bet you're tired of being laid off. I'll bet you're tired of being stuck inside. It's difficult these days even just to get out and do a little bit of yard work. We had snow again last week, of all things, after a pretty light winter. And we want to get back to the office, and we want to see and hang out with our coworkers rather than to just look at their faces on Zoom and FaceTime meetings. And we want to get out and do some shopping and see a movie and, well, I'm sure missing baseball these days. We're getting a little edgy at home, aren't we? It's one thing to distance ourselves socially from all of our friends and extended family who do not live with us, but around the house, things are getting a little cramped inside, aren't they? I mean, how much TV can you actually watch? I know somebody who's actually watched everything Netflix has to offer now. In fact, you know something is really wrong when the thing that America is most fascinated with are some strange people who raise lions and tigers for a living. It's crazy. Are you ready for things to return to normal? There come those times in life, don't there? Every now and then, every once in a while, when it seems like we have to take stock of what is really important to us, and perhaps even the things that aren't important to us, the things that are meaningful, and the things that we need to discard along the way. There come times when we need to face a new normal because the situation has changed. Maybe it happened to you when you were married and you realized that life wasn't just about you anymore, but that there was another person to factor into your decision-making, somebody whose desires and wants and wishes needed to be considered along with your own. And suddenly, normal meant having to do their laundry and do their dishes. Right, Jane? We need a laugh track under that, I think. And then, you know, when children enter the picture and you realize that life isn't just about the two of you anymore, and that new little one that you hold close in your arms needs to be fed and clothed and bathed and cared for constantly. For some reason, our children really want our attention, at least until they're teenagers, but that's a subject for a different sermon entirely. Once you have a child or take another person into your home, the picture changes, a new normal sets in. And sometimes it is the jolts and sudden shifts in life that force us to reconsider what our lives are all about. We lose a job, or we go through divorce, or there is the death of a loved one, and we don't always exactly know what the future holds at some moments. It can be pretty scary, and it can be anxiety-inducing. We don't always know what the new normal is going to look like in such situations. I think that these days that we're living in, these weeks that are so out of the normal, are a good time for us to consider again what normal really is. What should be normal for our lives, and what shouldn't be normal any longer. Once things open up again, I wonder, would things be the same or different? And if different, how so and why? If only there was someone for us who could enlighten us and who could tell us what normal is and what normal looks like when it's put into practice. If only there was somebody who could help us to understand what normal looks like from God's perspective. Thankfully, there is someone who can do this. His name is Jesus. You know, since Advent, this past fall, late in the fall, we've begun pondering the passages of Luke's gospel one after another, slowly working our way through into this sixth chapter of the gospel. One of the things that stands out to me that though we have heard the angelic announcement of his birth and pictured in our minds Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River and tempted into the wilderness. And we've read the stories of all the confrontative actions that he's had with the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, and how he has restored the lives of those who were hurting and sick. There has been in Luke's gospel a lot of action, but something's been missing. What's been missing is any talk, any words from Jesus to help us to understand and to frame what it is he is doing. Well, that all changes this morning. Today, we read what Jesus said when he came down from the mountain, spending a night in prayer with his Father, Luke tells us earlier in this chapter. After that, he chose 12 among his disciples to be apostles. And then Luke says that he stood on a level place and he addressed his followers. And over the next few weeks, we're going to listen very carefully and we're going to take to heart what Jesus says about normal. His understanding of how things are and how they ought to be is going to shock us sometimes, and it will always challenge us. He begins this morning by calling into question the very way in which we look at the world around us and understand how it works. Now, everyone knows, of course, that the people who really matter in the world are those who are wealthy and those who are comfortable, and those who are good-looking, and those who are influencers, especially politically. Everybody knows that, right? And everybody knows that the way to happiness in life is through a larger income, and buying and having more stuff, and being clever and well-liked, right? Everyone knows that. And everyone knows these things. This is just the way it is. This is how our world works. This is normal, isn't it? Not so fast, says Jesus. He looked at the world a whole lot differently than we do. Jesus said, and hear his words again. Let them sink in for a moment deeply into your heart and soul. He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you, and get this, blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Think about that for a moment. That can't be right, can it? How is it possible that those who are impoverished, those who are at risk, those who are grieving today, those who are unwelcome, how is it possible that they can be blessed? And as if this were not enough, Jesus upped the ante even further when he told his disciples that those who are hated when they are hated should rejoice on that day. They should leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven, he said, for that is what our ancestors did to the prophets. How can that be? And then Jesus said, woe. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what our ancestors did to the false prophets. Woe. Ouai in the Greek text, that's the word. Ouai. In the prophetic tradition of the Hebrew people, a woe was placed on a person or on a group of people, not for a small or temporary misfortune of some kind, something that would be over in a day or two. Rather, a woe signified a kind of naming and a placing upon a person an intense and lasting desolation upon them and their group. Woe, Jesus says. Woe to the rich and the famous, and the beautiful, and the powerful. Woe to them. Woe. What could Jesus have meant by this? His thinking is the exact opposite of what everybody knows. We are a world of haves and have-nots. It is the beautiful people whose faces are plastered on billboards and whom we watch on our television sets each night, not the ugly people. It is those who have been voted into office and the people who financially back those people, who hold sway and who call the shots. Whatever could Jesus have meant? Well, Jesus wasn't saying that there is something inherently good about being poor and sick and grieving and unpopular. There is no inherent virtue in these things. Otherwise, the scriptures wouldn't tell us to stop alleviating the plight of the hungry and those who are poor. And also, there is nothing inherently bad about having wealth and comfort and good looks and popularity. Jesus loves all kinds of people. Jesus gives resources and gifts of all types for people to share with others. So then, why the blessings and woes? Well, I wonder if it could be, the case that it's because of what wealth and poverty and hunger and comfort and laughing and grief and rejection and popularity often do to us. You know, when someone is forced to struggle for life's necessities, or they are in a deep depression, or they have to live on the margins of society, be because they have no influence whatsoever. Those kinds of situations, and all of us have been in those in some way, shape, or form, those situations are the ones that call us to cry out to God, because help isn't coming from anywhere else. That, I think, is why Jesus said that the poor and the hungry and the weeping and the excluded are blessed. They're blessed because in that pain, God is with them. God is with them in their plight, and God proves this by sending his son, Jesus, who comes and who lives among the poor, who feeds the hungry, who heals the sick, who raises the dead, who announces a coming joy beyond the pain of this life, coming joy that he ushers in and that he will establish and bring to its fullness. He offers it to all who will follow him all the way to the cross. Walking in the way of the cross always ultimately leads to resurrection and to its blessedness. Conversely, though, we who are rich, and all of us listening in today are rich, and we who eat too much, I'll let you decide for yourself about that one, and we who seek to be endlessly entertained, and we who are well thought of and who are accepted by others, we tend to seek fulfillment in those things. Jesus knew that money and stuff and entertainments and social acceptance can and often do draw us away from God. And God is the only true source of joy. Those things can become an end in themselves very easily. The temptation is always there. And this is why Jesus said that those who find their fulfillment in such things have received all that they will get, because that's all they've sought. And they will, in the end, find themselves to be hungry and mourning and weeping. And that's because walking away from the cross always ultimately ends in woe. So, what does this blessing and woe stuff mean for us today? Well, two things are for sure. First, we must each answer the question of where it is and in whom and what we are seeking joy. Where is that for you? Where is life, true, rich, abundant life to be found for you? Where is your joy? Are you seeking that in God? Or are you seeking that in lesser and ultimately empty things? What do your past actions and inactions say about you? And second, to whom are we giving our attention? God is especially concerned about the poor and the hungry, the grieving and the outsider. Jesus calls them blessed. Do you? Who are you concerned with? Where is your attention being given? Where do you spend your time and your resources? Those are very good, very challenging questions for us. Following Jesus faithfully is rarely easy. And this is a good time, these weeks, when everything is so different, to ask ourselves questions such as those he poses to us in his blessings and woes. After all, we can't go out and do anything else right now. So, let's get back to normal. God's normal, that is. And may you be blessed as you do. Amen.